Father, we give you thanks and praise for the words that you will speak through Raph this morning. We trust that the preparation that he's made will be a blessing to us, and we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I know some of us are still in holiday mode, and our brain isn't working very well. Now, I know you always enjoy when I come to speak, because I ask for, you know, a couple of questions. I give you treats, yes? Well, I've got a few questions, a little pop quiz to give you, but unfortunately, we had the grandchildren stay over for a couple of nights. They ate everything. No treats today. So just have to answer because it's a good thing to do. Right, the question is, can anyone tell me which gospel was written first? Which gospel was written first?
Matthew.
No. Now, I'm really disappointed because my home group should know this. All right. It's Mark, the second gospel in the Bible. So it's tricky, isn't it? Because you think it's Matthew. But Matthew was written between, this is the scholars telling us, between 70 and 80 AD. Luke was written between 80 and 90 AD, and John was written between 90 and 100 AD. Mark was written between 60 and 70 AD. So that was the first one. It was the one that closest to the events that occurred. Very interesting, that is, I think. The very first gospel that was used by the missionaries and the people that were meeting together, they had that gospel first up. The other question I'd like to ask you is, have you ever been let down by anybody? I mean, seriously let down. Have you? I don't think, well, there's a few young people here, but I don't think there's anyone in this room that hasn't been let down seriously by somebody. It's not nice, is it? It's not nice to be let down. So the other question is, how did you feel about that individual? How did you feel about the individual that let you down? Were you angry? Disappointed? Were you hurt? Now, I think that's they're the three main emotions that we get when we're let down in something that's serious. Now, the other question is, would you be willing to entrust that person with anything else important? Would you trust somebody that has let you down in the past, seriously let you down in the past, with anything else important, like writing the first gospel? Interesting, isn't it? Because Mark was not the kind of man, when you first read about him, that you would expect to be the one that records the very first gospel, the story of Jesus, the very first account, written account of the cross and Calvary and the resurrection, all that written by Mark. Now, Mark, when you look at his life, he starts off as a very immature young man. He made youthful mistakes. That's my little phrase, youthful mistakes. You know, because they're the sort of mistakes you make when you're impetuous, you know. You rush into things. You don't think things out. You react rather than take a moment and think about, oh, yeah, okay, this, you know, oh, yeah, okay, I'll act like. No, young men just react. He was unreliable. He was unreliable. We'll look at that in a minute. He lacked commitment. And some scholars would tell you, or would suggest, he was a bit soft. Now, I don't mean nice soft. I mean just soft, you know, not tough. Not the sort of person to be given the task of writing the first gospel, the first document of the life of Jesus. So what brought about such a change in this young man? That's a good question, don't you think? It's a very good question. The answer is really simple, Jack, really simple. Barnabas brought about the change in Mark. And they're the two people we're going to look at very quickly this morning. I don't believe that you'll remember this, because Josh tells us that after 2 weeks you forget everything. But 2 years ago we did character studies over the Christmas break as well. And I had the pleasure of presenting two people to you. And I told you about a character sketch. Does anyone remember what a character sketch is? Or a thumbnail sketch? What's a thumbnail sketch? It's an artist thing, isn't it? And a thumbnail sketch is just getting the main details of a scene. So then the artist can take it back to the studio and put it on his big canvas. So the thumbnail sketch just gives us the highlights, the main points, the big things to remember. And God does that all the time. Have you noticed? God is not big on details. He just tells you something. Gives you the facts. Gives you the big thing. And there's often not enough detail, I think, anyway. Especially in the book of Revelation. Yeah? Could do with a bit more detail there, but anyway. So we're looking at a thumbnail sketch of a man called Barnabas and another man called Mark this morning. Now, Barnabas is a really interesting person, really interesting. If you've got your Bible, I hope you have, we're going to just quickly go through a few verses in the book of Acts, just so that you know that I'm not making this up. I appreciate what you said the other day, last week, Joshua, about let's see what God says in his word about Peter. Well, I want you to take note. I really want you to take note of what God says in his word about Barnabas. All right? I really do. Very interesting man. So, Barnabas, who is this man? He's first mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 36. Have a listen to this. Verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. The very first mention of this man called Barnabas. It shows his spiritual character, doesn't it? That's the very start of the Christian outreach, the very start of the Christian church. And it shows his character, his commitment to the good news, to the work of Jesus. He put his money where his mouth was. Yeah? That's what he did. He backed up his belief. We talked about actions, yeah? And our walk this morning. He put his money where his mouth is. Where do you spend your money? Where do I spend my money? Because the psychologists will tell you that where we spend our money says a lot about us. What's important to us? It goes to the sort of character that we are. We spend the money on ourselves, on trying to look good physically or to impress. Or do we hoard our money, keep it all to ourselves, tuck it up, tuck it away in a safe? Because that's what the psychologists say. But Barnabas, he had a field. He sold it. And if you know your Bible stories, you know there are other people that did the same thing. But he brought all of the money, all of his money that he got from the sale of the field, and laid it at the apostles' feet so they could use it. So that tells us a little bit about him. Turn over to chapter 9. Read a little bit about that together. Barnabas was a risk taker. All right? He was a risk taker. You know the story of Saul, persecutor of the church, put Christians to death. Or, you know, arranged to do that. He was feared. He was feared by all the believers. He was notorious. But then God touched him, didn't he? Changed him on the road to Damascus. God knew that Saul had changed. Saul knew that he changed, but nobody else knew. Do you realise that? Nobody else knew that he'd changed. Whenever they saw this man on the horse, Saul, they thought he was still the same Saul that he was the day before. And we read that little account, didn't we? It shows you how tough it was for Saul. But have a look, have a look. Who was it? Who was it that intervened there? Barnabas. It was Barnabas that took the risk and associated himself with Saul and brought him to the apostles and sort of, you know, gave a guarantee that this man's different. He's not the Saul that we knew. He took a risk. Barnabas became the bridge between Saul the persecutor and Saul soon to become the apostle of Jesus Christ. We didn't read this section, but in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 26, I'll just have a quick read of it just now. He wasn't just a man of character and a risk taker. He was a troubleshooter. Have a listen to this. This is the man. I get very excited about Barnabas. He's a real person that you can look up to and emulate if you desire. Have a look at chapter 11, verse 19. Here's what it says. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution, who was responsible for that? Saul. Anyway. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen's travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, right? And Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about Jesus, about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Great, isn't that great? But it troubled the Christian Jews. Because it says there in verse 22, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. You see, the Jews in Jerusalem, the Christian Jews, they didn't think that this message was for the Gentiles. It was for God's people. It was for Israel. The Messiah came to Israel. Here's a problem. So they sent a man, Barnabas. Same bloke, right? They sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And then it goes on. I'll read that in a minute. So here was a situation. Here was a crisis point in the early history of the church. It was transitioning from Jew only to include the Gentile. You know that little peer indicator to Barnabas to take this young man under his wing. Lessons. Learn from your mistakes. I think Mark learnt. From what I can see, what happened the rest of his life, he learned from his mistakes. He did. He became patient. He waited for God's timing for things. It didn't seem like he was this rushing, impetuous young man anymore. And then the other thing I learned from Mark is mentors. Mentors are very, very important. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can always do with a mentor. When I was coming to the, this is a long time ago, when I was coming to the end of my 40s, I realised I'm going to be 50 soon. That's old. What does a 50-year-old Christian do? Well, what does it look like to be a Christian at 50? So I identified a couple of men, much older than me, spoke to them, spent time with them, learned from them. It's good. Doesn't matter how old you are. But also be a mentor. Look for a mentor, but also be a mentor. Because you can pass on your experience, your wisdom, your knowledge to others. That's what we learn from Barnabas to Mark. Because without Barnabas, brothers and sisters, there'd be no gospel of Mark today. There wouldn't. Without Barnabas. He was intricate in the gospel. And yet God, as great as Barnabas is, the character and the desire to help and encourage people, as good as Barnabas was, it was Mark that God used to write the gospel. It was Mark. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, encouraged Mark, who wrote the gospel that encouraged millions and millions of people to believe and follow Jesus Christ, so that you and I can also encourage and encourage others to follow Jesus Christ today. That is the inspiring work of God. I don't know how God comes up with these things, but he does. He uses all sorts of people to get his will done. Are you a Barnabas this morning? You could be. You just need to encourage someone. Are you a Mark? Perhaps. Maybe you've made a mistake or two and you think, oh, I'm done. Look for the second chance. God is wanting to give you another opportunity to serve him in his kingdom. May the Lord bless at looking at these two men.
Thank you, Raph. Let me just close in prayer and trust that you have a good week this week. Father, we've just heard of the wonderful encouragement that we hear from Barnabas that Raph has shared. We also know that you are a God of second chances. We want to pray, Father, that we can be encouraged and that we know that we can come to you when we fall. We give you thanks and praise. Father, be with us during this week. We ask and just pray that we be uplifted by you and your message this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.